It's been really surprising to see how many progressives and liberal Democrats how folks are responding to the NATO tomato ticket. You know, I think at times we forget that the two-party system has totally failed us. And, you know, the disparity between rich and poor is widening. We've got 2 million people in our jails. In elections throughout the country, we're seeing single-digit or very low teen number turnouts. And somebody like Ralph Nader and Peter Camejo steps forward, and they have ideas that are different than what is being put out there by Bush and Kerry. They have other ideas. They want to offer them to us as an alternative. And the response has been very strong against these gentlemen. People say, don't run. And they're saying that's the solution to the two-party system. In Oregon, where Nader and Camejo are trying to get on the ballot, they have a very interesting law that allows for folks, if they can get 1,000 people in the same place to sign a petition that somebody should be allowed to run for president in that state, then it happens. And the Democrats there have fought very hard using subterfuge to basically pretend like they're Nader supporters, to fill a room so that Nader supporters are turned away at the door, and then they reveal themselves for who they are, and Nader isn't able to meet the threshold. And of course, the story around the country is Nader can't get on the ballot, not enough people came out to support Nader, that sort of thing. And I just wish that the Democratic Party would put as much energy as they put in keeping Nader off the ballot as they, that they put that energy in election reform. I think I was naive at one time. I thought, well, these guys, you know, they want a different society. They want a different world. They're just having difficulty fighting against the Republicans. But if you look at the history of the two-party system, the reason why the Democrats wanted to stay that way is because they're in office half the time. And they would rather have a system like that that resulted in the arbitrariness that results with a two-party system that allows for a plurality victory. They'd rather have that every now and then than to break down the two-party system and allow a multi-party state to emerge that would have a diversity of opinion. In 1992, Bill Clinton was elected president with 43% of the vote. Most of the vote that got taken away from him was also taken away from George Bush by a spoiler named Ross Perot. And the Democrats love to invoke the name of Ralph Nader, but they don't like to invoke the name of Ross Perot. One gave them the presidency, the other one is accused of having taken it away from them. You would think that the intelligent folks in the Democratic Party would have the wherewithal to get it together to do what? To work for election reform. How hard can it be? You got 4 years, let's do it. What are the different ways that it could be done? You could seek a constitutional amendment and change the Electoral College that we know is its utter failure. It's undemocratic. It's the vestiges of a very aristocratic, you know, post-American constitutional system. You could also change in each individual state how Electoral College's votes are awarded. So you don't have to even repeal the Electoral College, you just change how you award the votes. And state legislatures, not the American Congress, get to decide that. So for instance, you go to New Mexico, everybody hears about Florida, but in New Mexico, Gore won New Mexico by 350 votes. You know, kind of a close margin there. He didn't get a majority there. Let's have these different democratically controlled state legislatures do what? Award the Electoral College within their state by plurality. That's another solution. The Democrats haven't done that in a single state in the last 4 years. You could also institute instant runoff voting. You could say, you know, we're going to have a majority election. It's done in Ireland, it's done in Australia, it's done in the United, in London to elect the mayor there. You could also say, well, we're not sure about instant runoff voting. Let's just take the top two vote getters and put them in a runoff a couple of years later. Look, a couple of weeks later. My point is this. The solutions exist for a party to only emerge 6 months before a presidential election and tell me I can't vote for someone that represents my ideas. You know, they've got unclean hands. They've spent 3.5 years doing nothing. They don't have any legitimacy when they come forward and tell me what I can and cannot do. I was asked to come in and just give a 5-minute welcoming. That's the welcoming. I want to thank you for coming out. I was just coming from a house party. Ralph and Peter were both at it. They're both in very good spirits. It was a good group of people. Ralph has gone off to a book signing, and he'll be here right after that. And Peter's on his way. I think he's going to grab a quick bite to eat. I appreciate you all coming out. Some of you already support the Nader Canelo ticket. Some of you are here just to hear what it's about and to understand why good, intelligent, rational people could want to support these men. And I think tonight, if you pay attention, you're going to hear about substantial issues like the war in Iraq, about the Patriot Act, about NAFTA, the WTO, about abortion rights, about gay marriage. You're going to hear about the two major parties not wanting to talk about things like, you know, an antiquated mining act from the 19th century that allows corporations to pay $5 an acre to mine all the minerals underneath the land and pay the people of the United States nothing but the $5. They're making billions of dollars, and the Democrats won't stop it, and the Republicans won't stop it, because those corporations are willing to put millions of dollars into congressional campaigns to make sure this doesn't go away. You're going to hear about people who can't afford pharmaceutical drugs, even though many of these drugs were created at the National Institute for Research, places where tax dollars are going to essentially find the answers, to find these pharmaceutical drugs, but then we don't let taxpayers get the benefit. We've got people all across the United States that can't afford these drugs, that have to leave the country or buy on the internet from Canada. Why can't we? Why can't Nancy Pelosi? Why can't Dianne Feinstein? Why can't these folks stand up and say, gee, you know what? What if these corporations had to pay back the taxpayers for research and development? What if these corporations... You know, what if they just return to us our investment? They believe in capitalism. What's wrong with a return on an investment? What's wrong for the people to get that? So, thank you for coming out. It's very important that you're here, and it means a lot to me, and I know it's going to mean a lot to Ralph and Peter. Thank you.